With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
And drops back, throws a mounting pass upfield. Reggie Tom Fields gathers it in on the dead run and races all the way to score from Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
Sends a whole burst through it. 20.
Side step to tackle. Runs left.
25 still on his feet. 10.
46-yard goal by number 39.
Running back, number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek Ciappala and Michael Stewart.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio. This is Derek Ciappala with my co-host, my partners in crime, Johnny Gomez. It's been a while, Magic Johnny. It's been a while. And Tommy Evans. And this has been different than last night. Last night we had 15 minutes of pleasantries. We'll get to those pleasantries. But it's literally getting ready to go here in the second round. Rams pick fourth in the round, and immediately we have to ask the question. The question is, what do you do here? What do you do here? I'm going to go with Johnny right away. Again, we'll get the pleasantries later, but the picks are going to come quickly. So, Johnny, at 36, you're the Rams. What are you doing?
Well, I'm definitely keeping the pick. You know, there's quite a few guys still left aboard. I really don't like the idea of getting Will Levis, so let's just get that out of the way. Personally, if I'm the Rams picking, I got to go Joey Porter Jr. here. Huge need, cornerback, got to replace Ramsey somehow, and pretty much you have a huge core of cornerbacks to deal with now. So this would be a huge impact right away.
If he's there.
Correct, if he's there.
If he's there. And the odds of them being there with Pittsburgh right there, man, that's a thought. Pittsburgh's picking first.
That's considering if Pittsburgh actually keeps the pick. I think they trade back.
Oh, possible. Going over to you, big dog. Tommy, what do you do?
What's up, gentlemen? Yeah. Well, we got four picks in front of us, and four guys are going to come off the board, some of which I might want. I have a five-player short list that I would take at 36. There's actually like probably 15 dudes that I would take. There's so many good players available in the second round. But, I mean, just off the top of my head, I would go Joey Porter Jr., Brian Branch, Jonathan Mingo. I don't want to butcher this guy's name, but it's the defensive end from Northwestern. And Cody Mausch, the utility offensive lineman from North Dakota State. Those are
the ones you're looking for in the second round.
Yeah, but there's more, too. I mean, I would go, there's so many guys I like here. Usually, I was telling somebody this earlier today, usually when our picks come up, I know exactly who I want, so I just pencil them in. This year, this is not the case. So when we're up, if we pick at 36 or we trade down to 41 with Tennessee so they could grab a quarterback, wherever we pick, in the near future, I'm going to need to go radio silent for a few minutes so I can make up my mind.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
So I was looking at a mock draft today and it had the Rams taking a tight end at 36. And
yuck.
I mean, the question I got, guys, was who do they take? And my answer was, I don't know, because at this point you've got so many needs that you really have a lot of choices, and it's hard for me to decipher where do you prioritize here? Because they can use an edge. They can use a linebacker. They can use a corner. They can use a safety, but we're not going to go safety now because that's dumb. You know, they can use a lot. This team needs a complete, like we're talking about, a complete reload. This is not, I mean, not even, it's a rebuild. So if you are prioritizing a position here, what I'm hearing from Johnny is, if that corner there is there, Joey Porter Jr., you take him. What are you prioritizing, Tommy?
Playmakers. It doesn't matter what position they're at. If you look at the Rams' current roster right now, they have like 40 guys on there. And I mean, if you look at them, it looks like the replacements. I mean, I don't even recognize this roster anymore. It's really bad. So we could go in any direction, but whoever we grab needs to be a day one starter, blue chip player at whatever position we grab. The only position I'm not super high on is tight end, because I'm not super high on tight end anymore in the NFL. As a matter of fact, I was telling the guys last night on Spaces after the draft, Josh hosted a Spaces, and there was a ton of us on there, man. It got up to like 30 or 40 people at one point. And I said, I don't see the tight end position being a valuable position in the NFL anymore, because it's not even valuable in fantasy football. As soon as the first three tight ends are off the board in fantasy football, it's like, why do you even want to draft that position? It's a pile of garbage. So if you look at it that way, the tight end doesn't even matter in the NFL anymore, dude. It's not that great of a position, you know? Unless you're finding, a Gronk or a Kelce or a Kittle, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
And the Lance Zierlein has him going Luke Musgrave at pick 36, the Oregon State senior tight end. That's who he has him taking.
You only go tight end when you're a team like the Buffalo Bills. They went tight end in the first round with Kincaid from Utah. You know why? Because they're a Super Bowl contender that needs a tight end. That makes sense. But we're a terrible team that needs everything, so I'm not taking a tight end first, dude.
Johnny, if it's not corner, who else?
Personally, I wouldn't necessarily mind tight end. I'm not as against it as Tommy is. But at the same time, I do kind of agree with them as well. If there's really no other player that's, sort of from that skill positional needs, I'm not targeting tight end if there's another position available. Like, for example, I would love the idea of the Rams going after, you know, maybe a BJ Ojulari from LSU. That would be somewhat of a reach at this point, but edge is such a huge need. I would much rather them reach than go after, you know, say a Michael Meyer or a Luke Musgrave or even a Darnell Washington. It's tempting because I do think these guys are talented, but at the same time, there's so many other needs that the Rams have. It is a bit of a luxury pick, especially considering the Rams still also have Tyler Higbee on the roster. So this guy, whoever they would draft at tight end, would essentially be taking a redshirt year behind Tyler Higbee, you know, just to kind of, you know, learn the NFL level.
So just want to note, I mean, you mentioned a reach guy. And by the way, you know, there's a chance your guy will still be there at 66 on the Rams pick. Is there, given the fact there is a lack of talent, how important is the Rams don't reach? They get the guy they need, a sure bet. How important to you is a sure bet, Johnny?
It is important. But at the same time, you can go back and pass drafts, especially with tight ends. Hasn't exactly worked out in the Rams' favor all the time. I mean, you can go back to Gerald Everett, who I suppose he's a fine tight end, but not someone that was good enough for the Rams to want to retain. So there's that. I would much rather them look for that guy that they want to keep on this roster and keep on it because they can actually afford him, you know? So it would even come to the point where I think I might rather them go after, say, a Brian Branch, who's a safety, rather than going after a tight end at this point. But again, would I hate it? Not necessarily, just because I do think they are, you know, there are plenty of talented guys here. But yeah, I would still much rather the Rams, you know, focus at cornerback preferably. You know, there is other guys available at cornerback as well, other than Porter. And certainly, you know, Tyreek Stevenson will still be there. It's such a huge position of need that I'm all for it. You know, go cornerback, go edge rusher. It's got to be.
Yeah, for me, it's frustrating, you know, that we have to talk about corner, considering we drafted two corners last year and two safeties last year. And we're still talking about it as a position of need. I know we took the guys later, blah, blah, blah. But the Kansas City Chiefs took the corner that I wanted instead of Kendrick. I penciled in Jalen Watson from Washington State at pick 211, I believe. And he ended up starting for the Chiefs last year as a rookie and played in the Super Bowl and played a fantastic role in helping them win. So I picked a immediate starter in the sixth round. And we did not. I mean, we got Kendrick. He just came in and played because of injury, and you know, he struggled, and he played on one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in college football in Georgia. So I'm not sold on our current scouting department. They're making really bad choices. And if a guy that sits in his, you know, little computer chair at his house like me, the quote-unquote armchair GM, can make better picks than the professionals, so to speak, it's a little disheartening for me.
And Joey Porter Jr. does go to the Steelers.
Yeah, shocker. I mean, his dad played there. Like, I was not thinking he was going to be available at 36.
So there we
go. Man can dream.
A man can dream. Well, he dreams more. By the way, presenting for the Rams tonight, Torrey Holt in the second round. So that'll be nice to see him up there. The guy who should be in the Hall of Fame by now, but isn't. Should be.
He'll get there.
He should have been there already, though.
Yes, should have been there.
That's not the way the voters look at it. They're going to spread out. I mean, you had two Hall of Fame wide receivers on the same offense, and look how long it took, you know, Isaac to get in. They're gonna spread them out. It's just the way it is. He'll get there eventually. He's earned it, and he'll be in.
So looking here, So the corner, that corner's off the board. You're saying you didn't expect that. Johnny's hoping, you know, Johnny's, you can dream. Well, now you have Arizona, Detroit, Indianapolis, and the Rams. Tommy, before we actually went on the air and I stopped the conversation because it was already getting good, what do you take, how do you feel about the possibility of the Rams moving back? I mean, they've done it before. You instantly were like, no, blah, blah, blah. Can you feel, what is your feel on the Rams potentially moving back out of 36?
Well, my gut reaction was no, because like I said, I'm sick and tired of trading our blue chip capital in the first and second rounds all the time. And we did it for proven talent, you know, in the NFL that was already there, and we won a Super Bowl. Good job. But the FDM picks days are over. The NFL is kind of, you know, caught on to that. And because the Rams actually won the Super Bowl building a dream team that way, the rest of the NFL probably, you know, you could tell they got a little, you know, hey, it worked. We're going to shut them down. And that's when the Carolina Panthers turned down two first round picks for Brian Burns, which in theory, no GM would turn that down. I mean, you're going to get two first round picks for a, you know, a good pass rusher, but he's no, I don't know. I wouldn't have traded two first round picks for him, but the Carolina Panthers turning that down showed me that the NFL is like, yeah, no, the Rams are done with that F them pick stuff. If you guys want to build a team, build it the way we're all doing it. Sorry, guys, game over. You know, this is a game of chess, and eventually you're going to get figured out. You know what I mean? Nobody thought the Rams are going to be able to win a Super Bowl building it the way they were doing it, because no one did it before. We've seen dream teams be built, you know, before with trading picks, and, you know, the Eagles tried to do it a long time ago, and it never worked. Well, it finally worked. So the rest of the teams are like, yeah, no, no, that's not happening no more. You're going to have to build your own scouting department and draft your own players, dudes. Sorry.
Okay, so going back, though, because you're making a great point, but what it, you're saying no, but what if they do trade back? And
my only, it would be less than 10 picks. And it would have to be for a team that wanted a quarterback like Tennessee at 41. I would go from 36 to 41 and pick up a fourth. I would do that. So
no more than 5 picks, basically.
10 at the most, but the most. No more than that.
I'm more restricted. I'm saying no more than 5. I mean, go get your guy. No more than 5. Johnny, what about you?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Not too far down. Definitely don't want to go way, you know, past 10. You know, there's definitely guys that they could still select in, you know, 5 picks or lower, or 5 picks, maybe a little bit more than that. But yeah, once you get further past 10 picks. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but Tennessee just traded up to 33. So they're probably taking Will. They're either taking Hendon Hooker or Will Levis right here. I would go Hendon Hooker if I was them. I think he's the better quarterback, and I think that it'll help sell tickets because he played at the University of Tennessee. It's a win-win for them. So that would be my choice. I don't think Will Levis reminds me of Bo Callahan from the Draft Day movie. I'm sorry. Something about him just rubs me the wrong way.
That's a better movie than people think it is, by the way.
Dude, totally unrealistic. People that don't like that movie cannot be my friend. I'm sorry.
Totally unrealistic. But
that's why it's great.
Yeah.
See, that's what people don't understand. Everyone wants to apply logic to everything. Like people that don't, you know, that don't like the Marvel movies, you know, I just enjoy them for what they are. But you get these comic book nerds that are just want to dissect everything. It doesn't match the comic book and this and that. And I'm just like, dude, just enjoy it. It's sweet and it's funny. Ooh. Okay, there's a lot of comedic moments. Like, I don't get it, dude.
Cardinals get a 41st, a third round at 72, and a 2024 third round for Tennessee to move up basically 7 spots, and they get an 81. So,
see, that should have been us. That is sweet. That's a sweet good deal for Arizona.
And 2024 is a loaded draft. That, man. And then you look at Detroit and Indianapolis here, they, you know, what does Detroit do? They were probably thinking Detroit takes a quarterback. Well, now they're taking the guy they want. Does Detroit take a quarterback? We'll find out. here we go. Any thoughts here, Tommy, for not Tommy, sorry, Johnny, before we actually get to the pick?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Tommy on this one. I think it's going to be Hendon Hooker. It just makes too much sense. Which, I got to say, I kind of feel bad for Will Levis. It's got to be disheartening knowing that you were kind of mocked to be a top 10 pick only to fall completely out of the first round.
Oh. They took Levis.
Wow. Okay. Well, then I'll shut up.
There you go. I don't agree with that pick. I would have taken Hendon Hooker. I actually, and people think I'm crazy, but we'll see 4 or 5 years down the road. But I think Hendon Hooker is the best quarterback in this draft.
You think he's the best quarterback in the draft?
Yep.
Whoa.
Shots fired. Shots fired, exactly. That dude only threw 2 interceptions last year, bro. You can't teach that. Like, he's just, he's mature. He has great character. He has great intangibles. He's the kind of guy that you want to lead your franchise. And he has all of the stuff that Bryce Young has as far as, you know, talent. But he's also the size of a regular quarterback in the NFL, too. So he has that one up on him. And I'm not, like I said yesterday, I was really pumped for Bryce Young to get drafted in the NFL. But more importantly, number one overall, because I'm the same height. And you know, my playing weight was 205, 5'10". He's my size, dude. And I was told I would never play quarterback above college because of my height. And I played really, really long time ago. I'm 44 years old. So to see the game evolve into what it has today and seeing a guy that's my size being able to start in the NFL and be the number one overall pick was huge for smaller quarterbacks back in the day. So kudos to him, man.
So reading the Rams were in on trading up last night potentially for Kincaid, who didn't make the deal. Also hearing they looked at moving up for quarterback, or so we'll see. But we're 2 picks away. Detroit's pick is in. I would
love for them to move up for Nolan Smith.
Man, do you move up right now at this point if you're them? When your draft capital is what it is, do you move up for anything? He's got to be something special, right?
Well, now
I would move up. You're 2 picks away from picking.
I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about like last night. You moved.
No.
Was there anything that would, in your view, that was there that you'd say move up given the draft capital you have?
No. I don't want to trade any more draft capital. I'd rather just let the draft fall to me and maybe move back a little bit to pick up a fourth because we don't have any fourth round picks. So that Grand Canyon between 77 and 167, I'm going to be really bummed tomorrow. Well, you know, we have to wait that long to pick. So it would be nice today if we could trade back from 77 and pick up a fourth. That'd be cool.
Man, I would have absolutely traded up to get Nolan Smith, man. I was praying for it, man.
Ooh, the Detroit Lions are just drafting nothing but tough guys. They took, not only did they take the middle linebacker from Iowa, they just took the tight end, Sam Laporta, from Iowa. They are building a roster that is going to make anyone they play against the next day wake up in the morning and go, man, I don't know if I can get out of bed today because everything hurts. Dude, I like what they're doing. People were killing the Lions draft yesterday, and I wasn't. And because you have to, I'm so tired of everyone growing up watching Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and all these guys and these draft formulas and these reaches, these terms that drive me crazy that people have built this system of the NFL draft, right? And it's like, there's no such thing as a reach, first of all. If you like a guy and you don't think he's going to be available at your next pick, there's no such thing as a reach, dude. Like, just go get your guy. That's your job as a GM and as a scouting department, is to get the guys you want, not because some expert said they're a projected fourth round pick. Who cares what you think? You know what I mean? Like, it's just stupid, dude. Raiders are just went above us.
So what was Tutu Atwell?
What do you mean?
Do you feel he was a reach?
I feel that they grabbed their guy. I just didn't agree with it. But I wouldn't call it a reach. I mean, if we want to go into that terminology, I had him like a sixth or seventh round pick grade on my board. But that's my board. That's not Les Snead's board or Sean McVay. Who am I to tell them who they think is good or what? You know what I mean? And vice versa. I'm not going to let them tell me who they think is good, because I'm going to laugh in their face and vice versa. They're going to look at my board and be like, you know what you're talking about. And I'm going to do the same to their board. So at the end of the day, it's just human analysis judging another human being. That's all it is. I think that they grabbed their – I think that they grabbed Tutu because there was two receivers that went off the board to our division rivals right before Tutu and pissed off Sean McVay. They had their wide receiver draft board. They wanted the dude from what was it, Purdue? The guy that's on Arizona. Can't remember his name now. He went off the board. Then Dwayne Eskridge went to Seattle like the very next pick. So all the receivers started coming off, and Sean and Les panicked, and they grabbed the next guy on their wide receiver board instead of grabbing best player available, blue chip guys like Nick Bolton or Creed Humphrey, who are immediate day one starters. By the way, both went to the Kansas City Chiefs, okay? And they're just winning Super Bowls and winning every year, and it's not all Patrick Mahomes, guys. It's the way they build their roster.
So okay? Let me ask you a question, and again, we don't know what's going on here. We're waiting for this. Apparently, the Rams pick's already in, but they're not even on the clock, but apparently it's already in. What if, because I caught what you said, Tommy, what if they take Hendon Hooker, since you're so in love with the guy? What if they took him at 36? How would you feel about that?
I wouldn't cry about it. I mean, it's not a position of need other than that fact that we only have one on our roster, which means we need to have more than one. Yeah, I'm not going to hate it. We're in a pickle, dude. We need a lot of things, you know. It's going to be hard for me to hate. They're going to really have to mess this up. There's so many good players available. They're really going to have to mess this one up for me to get upset with whoever they pick. But they do it year in and out to me, so I shouldn't be shocked if I see some dude from I don't know where the hell you are, State University, go off the board right now.
Well, the Raiders probably moved up to get Hooker. That also tells me that the Rams may have decided not to move. The Colts got the 38th pick, so they definitely chose to move ahead of the Rams for whatever reason.
All right. As soon as I see who the Raiders pick, I'm going to go radio silent for a minute, take my headphones off, because I don't want to hear you guys like say who the Rams picked if I haven't made my decision yet.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Meanwhile, Johnny, thoughts here. Here we go. What are your thoughts?
I think the Raiders get Hendon Hooker here.
I think that would be a smart move, Johnny. I really do.
I really think because. We've been hearing a lot of
Michael Meyer.
Okay.
Michael Meyer.
That makes more sense then.
All right. I'm going radio silent for a minute, gentlemen. I'll be back when I put my pick in. I'll be right back.
Well, they might have to pick in. They might already have it up already.
I don't want to know. I need to make my pick on my own without seeing who they pick.
All right. We'll see if
I think it's going to
be right back.
So who do they in your okay, here it is. Who are they taking, Johnny? Who you want to take?
Oh, man. I would love BJ Ojulari, but...
I think it's early. I think he'll be there.
But honestly, or Tyreek Stevenson, but I think they're going to probably pick a tight end. I think they go Musgrove here.
You think Musgrove? I'm you know, Brant still there. Does Brant fit for them?
Did you say Branch?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still there.
I mean, it's... there's a lot of talent here, and I don't... My thought is, if the Rams were going to move back, they would have moved back at this point. Like, the fact that someone jumped in ahead of them Benton is still there, defensive tackle. Brents as well. I meant who I meant. Corner from Kansas State is still there.
So who are you hoping for, Derek? I'm just curious.
You know, man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want them to take a quarterback. Next year's draft is loaded, and they're going to be picking high. Like, they're going to get their quarterback next year in a much better draft.
Yes, I agree.
And if for that reason alone, I want them to do something similar to what the Cardinals just did. Move back if you can. Get a pick for next year. That's the only reason at this point I want the Rams to move back if they move back, because I know how deep next year's draft is.
I mean, I would be okay with it if they move back, and hopefully there's a team out there that are really trying to get Hendon Hooker. But I just don't know if there's a team out there that wants him that badly that, you know, they aren't willing to wait.
But there's so much else. In my view, use this draft to build, put building pieces in for next year when they get their quarterback. The key to winning, I think, right now is keeping that quarterback cheap as long as you can. So if you get your quarterback now, by the time you come, that's 1 year loss on that contract. You want to get as cheap a quarterback contract as possible. So you wait till next year for your quarterback and you build more around him now. That's my thought process on it. So if you need offensive line help, if you need defensive line help, if you need corner help, and all those things, go get those now on your board. The fundamental things, and then worry about quarterback next year. They need help everywhere, though.
Yeah, they do. And that's why it's going to be really tough to figure out where they're going to pick. But we're just a mere few seconds away of learning this. Anticipation's killing me, man.
Well, Sosa is on saying the Rams are taking Steve Avila. And Jake's on there. So guard Steve Avila. That's what's on Twitter at the moment. Honestly, if they go guard, if they go offensive line, will any of us complain? Honestly?
It's not the sexiest pick out there.
But what do they need?
But it is a need. It's just going to be real interesting to see what they do at offensive guard. Does that mean they move Coleman Shelton back as a backup center? Do they have little faith in Logan Bruss at this point? It's just kind of interesting, because I figured if they were going to do that, if they were going to draft offensive linemen, I thought it would be center, if I was going to be honest.
You know, and right now they're showing on NFL Network the Rams draft house. I'm not going to lie to you. I am so sick of the draft house.
It's like, the lab now, Derek. It is the lab.
Sorry, the lab.
The lab, listen, damn it. The lab.
Given the draft issues in the last couple of years, and they have had issues, I don't want to hear the draft house. Here we go. So Steve Avila. And Torrey Holt's up there now. Hey, Torrey. Steve, is it Avila? Guard TCU.
Yeah.
So Ace. You know, I don't know that it's a problem with Logan Bruss. I mean, Logan Bruss is coming off a knee surgery, though. And if Logan Bruss works out, all of a sudden you got both your guards that you need. I'm not sure I'm complaining at all. If they're trying to run the football, if they're trying to finally get that running game straight, you know, he's got. I can't wait to hear what Tommy has to say about it.
Yeah, I'm real curious myself.
Honestly, given the fact that they have ignored the offensive line position in the first couple of rounds the last few years, and I mean, this also would signal a commitment to the running game, which we've all been harping on. So I'm not sure this is a bad thing.
No, definitely not. And it's definitely not going to be one that you're going to, it's not a selection that you're going to be like hyped about, because these really offensive linemen just don't get the credit they deserve ever. So, you know, it's going to blow over as kind of a meh pick, but in the end, it could benefit the Rams in the long run, especially because we know, Sean McVay typically likes to cross train anyway. So I imagine that he'll probably cross train him to maybe slide over in at center as well. So we'll see. You know, I don't hate the pick, don't love it. But I think pretty much a lot of these guys that they were targeting at pick 36 were already off the board. So and maybe they were trying to find a trade partner. But that may have not panned out after all, but okay with it. Don't love it. Don't hate it.
Well,
I'm back.
You're back. So, you know, do you know who they took yet?
I do, because I've been listening to you guys since I made my pick and put my headphones back on. I'm so proud of them right now. They took offensive line. When you have a quarterback that's going to make $49 million next year and he's getting older, you need to protect him. And they have done a terrible job over the last handful of years. There's a reason why Jared Goff is not a Ram anymore, because they didn't build a good enough O-line around him and O-line depth to keep him upright, and not a mobile quarterback. And Matt Stafford is not that much more mobile than Jared Goff is. So, they grabbed a dog here. And you know how I feel about offensive linemen and defensive linemen. You need to be a tough guy or I'm not even looking at you. And this guy is absolutely a mauler. So I don't hate this pick at all. If I was going to go offensive line at that pick, I would have went Cody Mouch from North Dakota State, but I ended up taking the safety from Alabama, Brian Branch. He's a Swiss Army knife in the secondary. And that's exactly what you need. And he's a dog as well. So,
but you're not complaining about this one either, right?
No, absolutely not. So, for first time in a long time, I'm like, dude, good job. Like you actually are taking how to build the team seriously and stop playing like we're playing Madden or something and just drafting all these gadget wide receivers and converted tight ends from small schools and all this nonsense. So I appreciate the pick. I really do.
You know, the thing is also, I think it signals, again, a commitment up front. You mentioned protecting Stafford. I think it's more in line of a running game. You know, if the Rams are going to win at all next year, and we all agree they're not a lot, but you're going to win more if you can control the clock. And if you don't have a defense that's scary and your receivers aren't what they were, you do have a guy named Cam Akers who can run the football, given the right avenues. And I think this signals, in some cases, a return to running the football to where they can hopefully wear some teams down. One area, I don't know if you guys realize this, they didn't have a whole lot of releases, cuts, trades, so on and so forth on that offensive line. And they added to it here. An offensive line that we did see improve as the year went on. They weren't good, but they got better as the year went on. And maybe this signals a bit of the strategy for next year to stay in games, at least to be competitive. They're going to go back old school and run the football.
Those guys that were playing. No. Those guys aren't on our team anymore. So you can't say that. Those guys were replacements that we found off the streets.
Our starters we're talking about.
At the end of the season.
No, I'm talking overall. Like the guys we got.
You said, our offensive line got better at the end of the year. Yeah, they did, because guys off the street.
What I'm implying is hopefully the coaching got better because they were a hot mess when the year started. I'm hoping we're seeing a commitment to running the game, running the football is what we're seeing. We did see more of a commitment to running the football as the year went on. Probably
we had to. It was out of necessity, and I hate when Sean does that. He did it in 2020 with Cam Akers during the pandemic year. He ran the heck out of the ball to protect Jared Goff. They completely changed the offense that year, and we're running the ball a lot. He seems to run the ball out of necessity sometimes, which I really hate I would like to see him run the ball as part of his normal offense instead of, you know, as soon as he gets Matt Stafford. What did you guys see against the Bears week one when he was our quarterback that year? It was like five wide receivers and let's sling it down the field every single play almost. That's why he got Matt Stafford, because he wants to play Madden and throw the ball, you know? So I need to see him coach up a more balanced offense and run the ball. I have to. I grew up in a different era of football, so a lot of this high flying all over the place just sometimes gets on my nerves, dude. Like, I need to see both. I need to see, because when you play defense, you're talking about offense. It's a trick, the defense. And when you're just, you know, the Rams would do things where, as a former defender, I would see them break the huddle and see their formations and go, I know exactly what they're going to do, because of the personnel that they had on the field and where they had them lined up. They were not, there was no genius offense, dude. Just not. In 2017, that offense was genius because they had Todd Gurley. And Todd Gurley made the defense respect the run game. And so you couldn't play 15 yards off the ball in the secondary. You know what I mean? You have to have a running game, you know? I just hope that he is starting to see that now that he's more of a seasoned coach overall.
We've been hoping for that for a while now. And, yeah, you know, and he called last year a humbling year, you know, there, and you would, that would be, this is his first losing season. And we talked about over and over again how he was 31 when he took over the team. He's 37. He's still a young buck here. And a lot of times you fail upward. You go through things and you can become better for it. Sometimes you learn more by failing. We can all hope that, but we all know he also gets, we all know he gets tunnel vision. Johnny, what are your thoughts here? Did we lose Johnny?
Here.
What are your thoughts as hearing all this discussion?
I could definitely tell that Tommy grew up in a different era of football. to be honest, he does bring up some good points, and I think part of what would make a good football is a mixture of new and old school. It's just that it's really difficult to kind of go back to the old school type of football when the entire league is essentially moving into this new style of high-flying offense. When you think about it, that's what most teams are trying to do. It's not anymore, let's run it down their throat. It's very rare. And usually, like Tommy said, the only time they do that is if A, they have that kind of beat them down type of running back, or B, necessity. And the only team that I can really recall recently that, you know, kind of utilized that style of offense was the Titans, because of Derrick Henry, which hasn't really been as effective in recent years. So it's just the way the game has changed a lot. So I don't know necessarily that's just the Sean McVay issue, as it is a league issue.
I'm not worried about the league. I'm just worried about my team. And I just need him to... Yeah, I don't ever want to go back to the league that I grew up in, because it wasn't as exciting, unless, you know, you were watching Dan Marino sling it around or whatever. And I don't ever want to go backwards, but you can't ignore the way this game was built. And it was built through the trenches, and the teams that are winning right now and getting to the Super Bowl have great offensive lines and great defensive lines, dude. It's that simple, you know. And our offensive line that got us to the Super Bowl and we won the Super Bowl was average at best, and they were able, they caught lightning in a bottle, but they came back down to earth, and like, you know, what's his face, Dennis, whatever, said a long time ago, we are who they thought they were, you know, we thought they were.
Yeah.
They're not that good, dude, you know, they're just not, because a lot of the offensive linemen on our team are missing an element that guys like me and Sly look for, which is toughness and a lot of them just don't have it. There's a lot of the last. Okay. There's a lot of offensive linemen, like really, really big dudes that are just not tough guys in general. They're just not. They're just big human beings, right? Like guys like Jonathan Martin got bullied out of the league. He was a, like 6'7", 300 pounds or whatever. If I'm 6 foot, 307 pounds walking around the streets, nobody's bullying me, dude. Nobody's bullying me at 5'10", 220. It's just who you are. It's who you are. And these guys aren't tough dudes. They don't scare me at all. They don't. You know, they don't scare me. The last game I ever played in 2011 was an alumni football game for charity. I was in my early 30s and I played outside linebacker in a 4-3. Normally I play safety, but because of the team makeup for that alumni game, a lot of the younger alumni were a lot faster than me. So they were like, hey, why don't you move down to outside linebacker for this game? You'll be more effective. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. You know, so I did. And so all my job was either blitz, cover the running backs or the tight ends. And dude, I was going up against the left tackle. He was like twice my size and I was just smashing him into the floor, like grabbing him and just throwing him into the ground. You know why? Because I was just meaner than he was. And he outweighed me by 100 pounds, you know? So I need guys like Steve Avila from TCU to play on our offensive line. So that pick to me was a great pick because he is meaner than shit, dude. Excuse my French, but he's a tough guy. Good job, Les Snead and Sean McVay. And I haven't said that in a long time. So I'll always give credit where credit is due.
Well, I think we all were, you know, we've in the last 2 days, we've been hard on him. You know, it's a little weird to be hard on a front office that is 1 year removed from a Super Bowl. But we all knew what was coming. Like, we all knew that they put all their chips on the table for one Super Bowl. Well, that's great winning a Super Bowl, but in L.A., winning one Super Bowl is never going to be enough, right? You want them going out there and competing every year, and how they did it ensured they would not compete every year. One of the complaints I even heard on our shows was Tommy saying they're not tough enough. And I'm sitting there going, they're not tough enough. And they got together for a Super Bowl run. It was gritty. It was a gritty run. But how many times last year did we see guys not making that extra push, that mean push, that killer block? We saw a returning Cam Akers swamp for the first couple games of the year, and everybody blames Cam Akers. And you can. He deserves some blame, but you know what? There weren't any holes there for him either. How many times have we talked about they're not being pushed up front? There's not holes. A guy like this, I'm more and more on board the more and more we talk about, because you will see push from him. You will see him mauling dudes. And I don't care what era, but we're talking about this era of football. I don't care what era it is. Winning football means mauling dudes. So I'm happy with this, especially when we're building. Like, you know, when Tommy was away, you said you were listening. Cool. Quarterback, I want quarterback next year. Go get your quarterback next year. Having this guy in place on your offensive line, isn't that what we're looking for, Johnny?
Yes.
Johnny and Tommy, this is what we're looking at. Guys in place to make sure whoever comes in as the next quarterback apparent is protected. He's got a guy, an offensive line that can run block. I mean, this is what we want.
Absolutely. I think this is why it may have not been the most sexiest pick out there, but it was definitely the right one, because offensive line is always going to be a need. Even if you have a damn good offensive line, you're always should be trying to make it better. You know, whether it be from depth purposes, to, you know, maybe finding a replacement for a guy that we could lose through free agency. That's kind of something that the Rams haven't really done. They either, you know, stuck with the guys that they had, brought in street free agents or undrafted free agents. And this is kind of a turn in the right direction. And like you guys have been saying, you know, trying to reestablish the run game, something that hopefully they do. You know, it's kind of something that that Sean McVay talks about a lot, saying, yeah, we need to be more balanced, but he never does. It's usually either out of necessity, like Tommy keeps saying, or it's, you know, bullshit. You know, they just continue to go air it out and just hope for the best. And
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought this flashed in my mind. And Tommy, you'll remember talking about this. How many times over the course of on our show do we talk about the possibility also that the reason why McVay did some of the things he did was he wasn't comfortable with the personnel he had. And a lot of that goes to your comments about roster construction. We can say we're blue in the face talking about McVay. In the end, the person responsible for roster construction is Les Snead, and he has a mixed record. If you want Sean McVay running the football and feeling comfortable doing things, you know, like 2017, you got to give him the roster to do it with. And how often have we seen all of a sudden Sean McVay back off and go this way where he tends to be more comfortable? And during those times, what's he been missing? Personnel.
Yeah, and they've the offensive linemen that they've drafted since 2017, anyone that they've taken in any of the rounds, has been an offensive lineman that fits their scheme, which I absolutely hate when people do that, because that's how you fall into the trap of drafting the wrong guy at a certain type of position. The guy they just drafted right now doesn't fit the scheme that we run. But I don't care, because he's mean. And you could teach scheme to anybody. You can't teach what he has. So this was such a good pick, man. I'm so proud of them for this, dude. They're going away from, you know, sticking with their, oh, well, he doesn't kind of fit our zone run blocking scheme. This guy's more of a power a guy. But I'm telling you right now, as big as he is, you know, and as tough as he is, you can ask him to do anything. Like, I'm going to give you guys a stat, and a shout out to Rams Tape for posting this after the pick, but he posted this. This is an amazing stat. Steve Avila has only given up one sack in 915 pass pro snaps. Okay. That's all I need to know about how tough he is. That's unreal, dude. That's unreal. And that's the kind of guy you want blocking for your aging future Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, this is a good pick, guys. I'm very proud.
I think you make a key point here. At some point, you trust that young player to come in and learn a scheme. Why aren't teams more willing to just, hey, you know what? We like the physical tangibles. We like what you've got. Can you learn our scheme? When they talked with Avila and they said in the interview, was the question asked about the Rams scheme? And obviously they must have gotten, I got to think they talked about the scheme. They had to get a feel for his brain. Because for all the flaws in how the Rams have done it, one thing they do value, we've learned, is they value smart guys. We've learned that. They had to have figured out they think he can do it. They think he can learn this scheme and learn it basically in 3 months, because they're on the field in 3 months.
Yeah, and let me give you something else. Duke Manyweather, who is a offensive line scouting and development guru, very well respected in the offensive line community, just tweeted out, the Rams just got the best offensive interior lineman in the draft.
Well, there you go.
That's pretty damn good.
Johnny, we're gonna put a bow on this. The show's almost over for a night. We have round three. We're going to cover the third through seventh rounds tomorrow. After the draft, we're going to do a special show. We're going to go through the rest of the draft piece by piece. We'll talk about our surprises. We'll talk about all that jazz. But we're going to wrap it up here. Johnny, you've been a little bit quieter. You tend to be a little more thoughtful in your responses. You tend to reflect a bit more. After getting a chance to reflect here, what are your thoughts?
I think I really like this pick. It is kind of one of those picks that it kind of resonates with you a little bit more after it happens. Offensive line picks in general are never really going to be that hype, you know, pick that you tend to get excited about. But it's those kind of picks that generally help your team to become better. And clearly, based on last season, that's what the Rams were doing. They're trying to get better, and boy, do they need to. So this is a step in the right direction. It's addressing the basics, which is winning the game in the trenches. And that's something that it's going to take some time to do. But if you continue to get solid guys like this, and hopefully they build up and become, you know, much better players than, you know, we could ever anticipate, this could set us up for the future. So here's hoping, you know, this is a different culture change, and I'm living for it, man. And you know, there's plenty of other needs to address. So I'm real excited to see what happens in the third round as well.
I'm going to make you sad. The Cardinals took Ojulari.
Yeah,
they took him early though. That's way earlier. I thought they would take him.
I knew as soon as the Rams picked, you know, as soon as they didn't pick him, actually, that he wasn't gonna be on the Rams, which is fine. You know, I'm not sad over the pick at all. I would have much rather them pick, you know, Avila over a tight end. You know, it's really not an area of need. Despite there being some talented guys there, really not an area of need, and this was definitely needed, so not sad about it.
All right, we'll take that as your closing thought. Tommy, closing thoughts?
A few years ago, the Kansas City Chiefs got smoked in the Super Bowl by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 31-9, because their offensive play was terrible. The very next draft, they drafted two rookies and started them immediately, and projected them into another Super Bowl win just a short time later. So offensive and defensive lines matter.
All right, folks. The last couple of days, we've been a little bit dour on what the Rams are doing. And I will say straight up, the moment, as the minutes go by after this pick, the more and more I'm falling in love with it. It sends a message as to where they're going, and I like that message. So kudos to the Rams. We give them praise when they're doing the right thing, and I think they're the right thing here. I'm excited to see where they go from here. Third round through seven tomorrow. We'll recap it tomorrow night. Until then, have a great one, and we're out of here.